Let me do a little karakia and then we'll get into a bit of sermon action, eh? In like the craziest chapters ever. I'm meant to be covering chapter 3, 4 and 5 of Micah, which is just bonkers trying to do that in one sermon. And I've got this really funny quote from Martin Luther. So you know Martin Luther?
Yeah.
Yep. So Reformation, 1517, nailed his thesis. And even he thought what I'm about to do is bonkers. So I'll tell you. But let me do a karakia here. Yeah, morena atua. Yeah, thanks for bringing us here, eh? Cool to be in church, worshipping you and connecting with your people, eh? I guess because we're indwelt by your spirit, we're indwelt by you, there's always something really cool when we come together as your people, eh? We need to hear from you, always. I just love how Jesus keeps saying, my sheep know me, they hear my voice, they know my voice. We really need to hear your voice this morning, God. I know some of the people here, some of the people listening on podcasts, watching on video, have just got really massive stuff going on at the moment, really heavy things, and they just desperately need to hear from you this morning, God. So whether it's through our sung worship or I don't know, whatever's going on, please speak to us. Eh? We are here because we've got open ears to hear what you want to say to us. Yeah, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, okay, so Micah. So, as Shelley said, Graham did a really great intro sermon last week with a whole bunch of cool stuff, and as Graham does, he does this amazing, like, challenge, so you feel super challenged, but you don't feel told off. You with me, eh? He's like the man. I'm always jealous. I always send him horrible texts afterwards. I'm like, how do you do that, bro? So he did a great intro. So if you missed it, I'd really encourage you to go and listen to the podcast or watch the video. Anyway, and kia ora. Podcast people, kia ora video people. I've had a bunch of people text me this morning, school holidays, they're away. They're like, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be there. We'll watch it on video, so I know who you are, so I will check the log. And if you haven't watched it, man, you'll be losing gold stars off my chart. I literally have a chart at home of people who have been in church. No, I'm joking. Oh, funny side story. I now started. I had to tell you a funny side story. So I was visiting a church a while ago, and one of the pastors showed me, 10 years ago it would have been, there was an elder in their church that had a book. And in the book, he had the names of everyone in the church. And every Sunday, he would stand at the back of the church and write the date and tick who was there or who was away. And I said to the pastor, why did he do that? Did he, like, text them and be like, oh, we missed you at church? He's like, nah, he just wanted to personally keep a log of who was there and who wasn't. So we don't do that at this church, right? If you're here, that's fantastic. Anyway, okay, so Graham introduced chapters 1 and 2, and the main thing Graham was bringing out is that the leaders at this time were just super unjust, super evil. They were really evil, so evil that they were deliberately leading the people away from God, right? So that's kind of chapters 1 and 2 in a quick nutshell. And chapter 3 then is all about the judgment that God's going to bring on the nation, right? And so the big judgment, and you guys know this, right? The big judgment that God's going to bring on them is exile. So they're going to be invaded and they're going to be taken away. And God keeps sending prophet after prophet to literally say, stop being evil. Stop doing evil stuff. If you keep doing it, you will go into exile. And they're all literally like, to God, which we would never do, right? When we get a warning from God, we instantly, of course, are like, oh, yeah, I'll stop that sin or I'll stop that thing you're convicting me about. That was a joke because I know some of us are evil. Can I hear an amen? None of you are evil? All right, okay. And so they do what we would never do, and they just ignore God, and they keep being evil, keep being evil, keep being evil, and so finally, exile. So I'm not really going to get into chapter 3 too much, but I was going to say, so as a church, we preach through, like, remember we did that overview of the Bible in, like, 5 Sundays towards the end of last year? So in there was, like, cool sermons around the exile and what that meant and the people returning and all that stuff. So if what I just said, you were like, what? There was an exile in the Old Testament? What's happening? Then you could go back and watch those sermons. So that'll help you put it all into a bit of context. So then chapter 4 and 5, Micah takes a massive turn. So chapter 3 is all about judgment. And then chapter 4 and 5 is this real crazy mix of judgment and blessing that's going to come soon and then blessing that'll come in the future. And he kind of just bounces backwards and forwards through it. So when you read it, it really reads like Micah had drunken way too much coffee. Does it make sense? Does anyone have a friend that sometimes drinks too much coffee and then they're just like, whoop, 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 yep, right? So I have a good friend who is the most ADH person I've ever met in my life. And we'll be having a conversation and mid-sentence, he'll just go, say we're saying, you know, oh, yeah, it was so cool, I don't know, watching the All Blacks last night. Oh, and man, it's such a beautiful day out there. oh, I was riding my bike the other day. And your brain, you're just like, what, where, what, when? And he'll ring me, and he'll literally ring me. He'll just be like, oh, hey, Craig, I was just suddenly thinking. And he'll do a weird thing, and then he'll be like, yep, right, and hang up. And I'm like, what even just happened? He is like off the chart. So when you read Micah, if you do read chapter 4 and 5, just read it thinking Micah has had so much coffee, it's just bonkers. Because you're reading it and you're like, where did we just go? How did we get, what's happening? So Martin Luther, the man, I mean, totally reformed the church, right? That's pretty legit if you ask me. This is what he said about the minor prophets, and he's talking about all the minor prophets. This is just a funny kind of quote. So why is my thing not working? Oh, can someone click back there? Do you have the power? Shot, team. This is Martin Luther. He said, so he's talking about the minor prophets. They have a queer way of talking, like people who, instead of proceeding in an orderly manner, ramble off from one thing to the next so that you cannot make head or tail of them or see what they're getting at. So I read that quote and I was like, oh, wow. And I have to like make head or tail of it and preach on this. So a little bit chaotic. So the big thing that we see in chapters 1, 2, and 3 and about this judgment, but the big thing he's responding to is this crazy word, right? This big word, injustice. So this is all through the book of Micah, how unjust the people are being and how God needs to bring this kind of judgment. So I thought we'd start. I know we normally have like a little discussion thing in the middle, and I thought I'd freak you all out, since the school holidays, and give you a discussion time at the beginning. What is this madness? I don't know. So here's some questions. These are kind of serious questions. What is the worst injustice you see in the world? Is that all right? Why is everyone dying of laughter? Text Joes. Yeah, wait. Keep your pants on, everyone. Oh my gosh, I was like, what? Have I done something weird? And you're freaking me out. All right. So the serious question. So those of you who laugh now are going to feel really stink. Nah. What is the worst injustice you see in the world at present? And there is a lot. We could sit here for about an hour just listing the injustices. There's so many. So can you text the word to Josephine? So your injustice might be war. It might be discrimination, racism. I don't know. You're going to have a little discussion with a few people. So then I want you to text the word to Josephine, and she's just going to compile the top five. And then later on, we're going to come back, and I'm going to talk about those top five. And then big, hard question. Why do you think God is allowing this to continue? So why is God not just stopping the injustice? He can. Last time I checked, he's God. So why is he allowing the injustice to continue? So first, grab a couple of people around you, have a little chat. What is the worst injustice you see in the world at present? Just text it to Jose. That's your number. And then why do you think God's allowing this? So again, if you're a visitor or you're just hanging out with Jesus, if you stare at the screen, no one will bug you. But otherwise, people will now talk to you. So grab someone, have a little korero, and then we'll boogie on. Alrighty. So hopefully you've texted Jose a word that is your top injustice. I mean, there's so many, it's kind of ridiculous. Why do you think God allows injustice to continue? So why doesn't God just stop it? He can, easily. What would be some reasons? What do y'all think? Yeah, what do you reckon? Say that again.
If life was too perfect, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Elise is saying, if life was too perfect, then we wouldn't be seeking out a relationship with God. That's cool. Super cool. Anyone else? What else do you reckon? You all are super smart. I know that. Bernice, what do you reckon? Yeah, totally. He's given us. Yeah. He's given us free will, eh? So, yeah, that's cool. Anyone else? All right. One of the things Emily and I were talking about, Emily said, and I'll take credit for it, was, because we're all evil. So for God to stop injustice, he'd have to remove everyone from the planet. Does it make sense? Because we all, in different ways, we all do unjust things and live unjust lives, right? So Micah talks a lot about this, the end to injustice, that there is an end coming. So that's kind of where we're heading. And he talks about this phrase that we read in the Bible a lot. Like, we don't actually read the phrase, but we read this concept in the Bible heaps. And I know some of you know this, but I'll explain it a little bit. It's this phrase, already not yet, right? And so this is a phrase we read in the Bible heaps that talks about something God has promised in the future to be fulfilled is here now partially. We experience it now somewhat, but not fully, but we know the fullness of that is coming in the future, right? And there's tons of these. So a classic one is Jesus, and that's what we're going to talk about today, that Jesus has brought peace to us, but not peace to the world. We know that's fully coming, but we know we have peace now, right, with God. A classic one is Paul talks about us being seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and you go, doesn't feel like I'm sitting in the heavenly places. And he's going, no, I'm meaning spiritually now. You are indwelt by God. You're connected with God. So metaphorically, you are seated now with God in the heavenly places. He talks about this a bunch, right? And you go, oh, I can see what you mean. I kind of am now, but one day it's coming and that will be full, right? So that's what Micah's talking about, this whole, you kind of got it now, but the fullness is coming later on. Okay, so who knows what a Polaroid camera is? Anyone? Polaroid camera? All right. So in case some of you don't, here's a picture I prepared earlier of a Polaroid camera. So a Polaroid camera is a camera that has a printer in it, which is a simple way of explaining it, right? A few years ago, one of my nieces got one for Christmas, and at a big family gathering just blasted around going through all, because it comes with like packs of little prepared paper thingies that you stick in it and like use them all up in about, I don't know, an hour, and was like, no, and it was in. So when you take a Polaroid picture, you take the picture and it instantly goes and prints out. That's the exact sound, by the way. I've been practicing all week. It prints out the picture. And when it comes out, though, it's totally blank. There's nothing. And if you didn't know, you'd be like, oh, it's broken. But then if you watch it and you're meant to shake it like a Polaroid picture. Anyone remember the song? Remember the song? Great song. I'm sure it's an inappropriate song, so maybe don't look that up. I've been practicing that all week as well. No, I haven't. And you shake it to dry it is all you're doing. And at first you're like, oh, I can kind of see the image. And then as you shake it, it's meant to be a couple of minutes. The image gets more and more clear. But at first you're like, I kind of get it. I kind of see it. And then the longer you look at it, the longer it dries. It gets super clear. And so you have these Polaroids, right? This is this idea that Micah's going to talk about. And we've got to get this in our heads. Otherwise, what he talks about, you're like, this just doesn't work. The stuff he's talking about is not true. I'm not experiencing it. And he's saying, no. You'll get some of it now, but shake it. And over time of God, it'll become clear in the future, right? So that's the big part that he's going to be talking about as we go through. So I want to just read a little bit of what Matt read before. So if you've got your Bible, jump back to Micah. Make sure you're reading it and I'm not making all this stuff up. So there's heaps of key verses in there that he's talking about, like I said, the future, but you're like, oh, I kind of start getting this now as a Christian. Like verse 4 is a classic. Everyone will live in peace and prosperity. It's like, man, that's not true now. But as Christians, we can have peace. It makes sense, eh? Paul talks about in the New Testament, we can have an illogical peace. It doesn't make sense often to have peace when something heavy's happened. But because we're connected with God, we have a peace, but it's not a world peace. We know that's coming in the future. You get into verse 6 and he says, in that coming day, in other words, in the future, says the Lord, I will gather together those who are lame, those who have been exiles, those who are filled with grief. And you can kind of go, hang on. When Jesus came the first time, he totally did do this. He totally went to the lame and the broken and the hurting and the whatever. And he did do healing and he did do caring and stuff, but not fully, because there was still a heck of a lot of people in Jesus' time that weren't healed, right? So there's always this, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming kind of thing. You see it real clearly over in Isaiah. So if you've got your Bible, jump over to Isaiah. This is one of the most clear passages, I think, where you see this kind of, yeah, it's here, but it's really coming in fullness. Where are we going? Isaiah 11. So this is a little bit, I don't know, it uses a lot of big Old Testament-y theme, so I'll kind of explain it a little as I go through. So he says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And if you don't know what he's talking about, you're like, what the heck was all that? So what he's saying is, David was the greatest king ever. And he says, out of the line of David will come a new king. And we're all like, oh, of course, that's Jesus, right? Jesus is the new king. And he says, and the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And when you're reading that, you're like, oh, we totally saw that when Jesus was here on earth, right? Jesus was totally wise and compassionate and all these things. But then he's going to change. In the verse 6, he totally changes. And you're like, whoa, we haven't seen that. But he never says, oh, that was partially fulfilled when the Messiah came and in the future it'll be fuller. He just carries on. Remember the Luther kind of crazy thing? Verse 3, he'll delight in obeying the Lord, totally Jesus. He'll not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor. He'll make fair decisions for the exploited. Then it carries on, right? this whole, when Jesus came, we partially started to receive all this blessing from God, right? We partially started to receive it, but not yet, not fully, right? So where's your list, Jose? Do you want to come out and read us your list? Has it been hilarious trying to sort out everyone's ridiculous texts?
So,
come over here for the camera or we'll get in huge trouble with Russ. He's scary.
So I had 21 responses.
Hey, nice.
So to narrow it down to the top five. It's interesting, categorising them in a sense is what I've done. But this is just the top five. So if you don't hear yours, I'm very sorry, but it didn't make the top five, but it doesn't mean it wasn't valid.
Nice.
Wow. We're all okay. So war was very much the biggest one. And then mistreatment of innocents and of children. Governments mistreating their people. Poverty. Persecution of Christians. And that was five. Sorry if I didn't hear my thing, but there were some really good responses.
Yeah, so just wait, I need to read these. So this next bit is going to sound really fictitious unless you hold on tightly to Jesus, okay? So our world is falling apart really fast, right? Ukraine has just done another draft because they've run out of people. I think we're up to 150,000 Ukrainians have died in that war. Russia's way more than that. So Ukraine's doing another draft, the next level of people coming in to die, right? The war in Sudan, I think we're up to 200,000 or 300,000 people have died there. It carries on, right? You heard about the stabbing in Melbourne last night. 6 people stabbed, baby stabbed. I'm like, what is happening, right? Our world is spinning out of control really, really badly. One of my jobs is to catch up with youth pastors and young adult pastors around the country, and the dysfunction and the depression and the anxiety and the suicide that these pastors and so on are dealing with is just insane, absolutely insane, right? So what Mike is about to say is when Jesus comes back the second time, we get the fulfillment of this. And so just imagine a world without these injustices, because it sounds ridiculous. So you imagine a world with no war. Instead, it's peace and it's joy and it's harmony. Imagine a world where there's no kids mistreated, ever. In a family or in a war or anything. It's just families are not dysfunctional. Imagine a world where governments are not mistreating their people because Jesus is the government and the government is perfect and the laws are perfect. Imagine a world with no poverty, where no one ever goes to school without a meal. No one ever goes to bed hungry or living in a tent down by the river. Where Christians are totally not persecuted. Imagine that. The number of Christians that die around the world at the moment is just absolutely ridiculous. Racism. I mean, when you like even just reading that out, I'm like, I literally can't imagine a world like that, right? But that's what Mike is saying is coming. He's like, it's partially here now because we are the light. We are the light, right? We represent Jesus in all these crazy situations. But he's like, but not fully yet, because when Jesus returns the second time, right? He's been here once, he's coming back. When he comes back that second time, that's when everything changes. And so this is where he switches. In verse 6, it's like, so those first 5 verses, you're like, yeah, I can see that when Jesus was here. And Jesus doesn't change, but when he comes back the second time, and then he gets real metaphorical, and some of these are quite crazy. So verse 6 says, in that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat, which always cracks me up because I'm like, this is horrible. But if you had a leopard and you put a baby goat in there, the leopard's like, oh, thanks for lunch. Hop, it's just gone, right? But then they won't. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And I love this next one. The little child will lead them, lead a lion. The cow will graze near the bear. There's a really cool one in verse 8. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. And he just carries on with this really cool image that when Jesus comes, again, we have it partially, when Jesus comes fully to reign on the earth, to be on the earth, there's this time of incredible peace, like God has always wanted it to be, right? But the problem is at the moment, it's not. at the moment the world is just trying to kill itself, and the dysfunction and the mess and the anxiety we see in society at the moment. I mean, you guys know, right? It's just absolutely crazy. So for the next couple of minutes, this is where I want to go. I want to try and be real honest and go, okay, the world's falling apart. Aotearoa is falling apart. How do I do this thing? How do I do this Jesus thing when I got really, really sick family members? I know some of you are wrestling with some massive family stuff that is like off the charts. And I don't want to just stand up here and be like, hold on, Jesus is coming in the future. And you're like, oh, gee, that helps me tomorrow when my family member is literally dying or something. I know heaps of you have real worries about where the economy's going. I mean, the price of food, the price of fuel. Our rates are going up, what, 20% next year and then 15% every year after? It's like, how, what? Joseph and I were talking to a business owner last week, and he was like, oh, redundancies are off the charts at the moment in Hamilton. Just so many people being made redundant, right? Anxiety, depression, all this stuff is just massive. So how, as Christians, are we meant to hold on? Oh, one day Jesus is coming. It's like, yeah, but what do I do now to not fall apart? That's kind of what I want to think about. So we just got a little video clip from Lord of the Rings that they're going to play, and then I'll carry on preaching a little bit. Thanks, guys. Ole, I, like, being real honest, I need to say, man, some of you are not giving up. You are holding on, and it's really hard, and I don't want to minimize it, right? Life is really rough. I mean, some of you, you're going great, but for I think the vast majority, it's just hard at the moment, right? And I stopped it obviously right there because Sam then goes on to talk about there's good in the world and we have to look for the good. And I go, good schmud. That's really helpful, Sam. I know what I'm holding on to. I'm holding on to Jesus. In the midst of the hard, in the midst of the tough, in the midst of all this stuff going on our planet, I hold on to Jesus, right? I love this verse here from Isaiah 11, which we were reading before. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, and this last bit's the key, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord, right? Who know the Lord. That has to be the key for us, right? It has to be the key for us. The more we know God, the more we can hold on to him, right? So, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but if it's getting too much for you, then all I can say is you've got to hold on to Jesus. And how much holding on to Jesus are you doing at the moment? And I know when it's really hard, that can be the first thing to go. So I'm kind of saying, don't let that be the first thing to go. When it's rough, when it's hard, you've got to keep seeking him, right? Keep seeking him. Just a little bit in the morning, maybe a little reading of a verse, a little prayer, a little bit of worship music, a little bit of time in nature if you're in nature, just that holding on to Jesus, right? Holding on to God. I love that, eh? The earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. This next verse I talk about all the time, and I was going to apologize, and then I was like, last time I checked, it's the Bible, and it's impossible to read the Bible too much. So if you don't like it, bad luck. So this is my favorite verse ever, right? This is Ephesians. Whoosh. Can you click, Russ? Ephesians 3, 18, 19. This is what I have tatted on my arm, so he's talking about knowing God, right? Paul says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. One of my friends is a cop, and I think I've said this to you before, and he's such a funny dude. He's like, the number of times I rearrest someone and they're in the naughty seat. So in a cop car, there's a naughty seat, which is the nasty seat behind the driver so that the other cop can turn around and slap them if they're being evil. The naughty seat, he said, the number of times I've arrested someone for the third, fourth, fifth time, and I just want to turn around and yell at them, you need Jesus! He said, it's insane. Or he said, I'll turn up to a domestic where, again, the husband or the wife has beaten the other spouse to almost death, and I just want to sit with them and go, you guys need Jesus. All our programs, all our training, all our stuff is just not changing society. And this is my friend the cop speaking. Like I said, I hang out with a lot of youth pastors and young adult pastors. The number of times I hear them say at the moment, oh my gosh, my youth just need Jesus. our schools are starting to get so toxic with all this stuff going on, and they need Jesus. I was talking to a youth worker down in Christchurch, and he runs a whole bunch of camps. Him and his ministry run a whole bunch of camps over the school holidays. And he said he sent me a whole bunch of texts he gets from parents after the school holidays. So these are kids that are sent to them by the government because the kids are so messed up. Most of them can't go to school anymore, and their families are so dysfunctional. So the government sends them to this ministry, and they take them to these camps and do all this cool stuff with them and tell them about Jesus, and heaps of them get saved. And he said he just gets the craziest texts from people, and he sent me a whole bunch, and there'll be people like, what the heck did you do to my son? He's actually listening to me now. Or what did you do to my daughter? They're actually going to school. It was all these things like that. And he said, he just replies and goes, it's all about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. And I was like, man, hope of the world, eh? The hope of the world is Jesus, right? I just want to finish with these verses, right? These are the ones that I think are pretty key. He will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honoured around the world, and he will be the source of peace. That word lead in the Hebrew is a real funny one that they use. It literally is the word that a shepherd would use talking about them leading their sheep, right? Leading their sheep. And so I've taught heaps here how in our day, shepherds are crazy and have dogs and drive their sheep. But in Jesus' day, it was always leading them, right? And I talked a few weeks ago about how the sheep would literally know their shepherd's voice. The shepherd would literally have names for all their sheep. Because they'd only have 20 or so sheep, 30, 40 maybe. And they'd have names for them. And the sheep learn that the place of safety is by the shepherd, right? So the shepherd's walking, they're by the shepherd, right? Because if they're not, then they'll be eaten. It's not a good thing, right? And remember I talked the other day about how the shepherds would sing, and often all the shepherds would come together for a little korero, a little talk or whatever, and all the sheep are just hanging out. And then as they left, they'd all start singing their little song, and each sheep would know the song of their shepherd and just follow them off, right? I love this say, he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength. He will be the source of peace. Obviously, I pray for you all. I know heaps of us pray for us as an Agora whānau all the time. And Qumran, so they do that cool prayer thing on Thursday mornings, which I used to often go to, not always, but often. And now I'm working, so I'm not even there, slacker. So Qumran will send me a picture of all the prayer thingy so I can be praying away for it. And I was praying away through it this week, and I was working on my sermon, and I was like, man, heaps of you just need the Lord's strength. You really do, because it's hard at the moment. Heaps of you really need the Lord's peace. But I was like, the key is he'll stand to lead you. So again, how are you doing being led by Jesus at the moment in the midst of all the craziness on the planet? Eh? Podcast people, video people, how are you doing being led by the Lord? You know you need his strength, right? You know you need his peace. It's like Jesus is going, it's here. All the strength you need to get through this mad planet is here. It's going to be perfect one day when Jesus returns, but right now there is strength available. There is peace available, but the key is to allow him to lead, right? To know him. Remember that verse before? Knowing the Lord, knowing his voice. All right, Etu, let me pray for us, and then we're going to continue in sung worship. So let me pray for us, eh? So just as you're standing, though, just ask yourself that question. Like, seriously, how are you going allowing Jesus to lead you? Because it's real easy amidst all the craziness of the planet to just slowly slip out of that. He is my Lord. He is my boss. So, yeah. Yeah, kia ora Eeyore, the creator and sustainer of all that we see, all that we know. Man, our hearts break for this planet at the moment. Like, you saw our list of injustice, God. And we could have gone on for a long time talking about the injustices in our planet. But we know that we are the light. We really are. You call us to walk into some dark places, some crazy places, to talk to friends that are just so struggling. People in our own church are really struggling. You call us to encourage one another, support one another, love one another, because we are the light. Because you indwell us, eh? Yeah, I just call out to you now, God, in the name of Jesus, for anyone in here, anyone listening on the podcast, anyone watching on the video, I know you talk to us, so give them really good ears to hear you right now. How are they really doing in allowing you to lead? It's always an allowing, eh? In allowing you to lead. Do they need more strength? Do they need more peace in their life. We know you offer it. We know you hold your hands out to us going, here it is, all the peace you need, all the strength you need. Just allow me to lead. Know me. Listen for my voice. Listen for my song as I sing over you so beautiful, eh? Yeah. Yeah, speak to us, God, eh? We need to hear you. We really do. Yeah, we're going to sing these next couple of songs, and I just encourage you as you're singing to maybe not sing and just listen for the voice of God, eh? What's he saying to you? What's Jesus calling to you as we sing this? So, yeah,